Welcome to School of Miracles. I'm Heather Scavetta. And on this podcast, we talk about all things spiritual path. So it can range from how to communicate with your spirit team, but also day-to-day living and what that can look like when you're trying to align your soul with this physical expression. And so recently, I started thinking about how people generally communicate with their spirit team. And their spirit team can be their angels, their guardian angels, their loved ones, their guides, ascended masters like Jesus. Oftentimes we ask questions and we want an answer like yes and no. And what I find is when we communicate with spirit, they also like to take that opportunity to expand us, to expand our way of thinking, perhaps give us some more knowledge. But they don't want to leave the information flat. They like us to think about it and hopefully to apply the information into our life, which is where the growth is, not just kind of keep it as knowledge, to try it out. And whenever we communicate with spirit, it is like a big experiment. Let's throw something out there. Let's see what happens. It's when we don't put something out there that we may find there's little response from them. So we have to be proactive in our life and remember that they do want interaction from us. And it's helping us learn that the communication between spirit and us is a big loop, right? So you ask a question, you receive an answer. You do something in your life, they might be able to respond to that. And they use different things in our life to show us things. And that's why it can be confusing when you're trying to discern that. You may say something like, well, you know, I just read that this morning, so that can't be from spirit. They use everything in our physical world, including our different levels of consciousness, such as our dream state, our meditation, our meditative state, to respond to us. So we have to be aware of all these things that they can reach us with and use. It's when you do nothing and it's just kind of stagnant that oftentimes we may feel like the communication has lagged. But we're also learning that this association with us and our spirit team is really seamless. We make it more difficult than it is. They're listening all the time. They're actually a part of us. There is no separation. So we can ask a question and get an answer. And when you make it more difficult than that, you will learn that it doesn't have to be that difficult, that it can be that easy. What we need to do on our part is expand our abilities so that we have so much practice with it that we understand how they can respond. And we've opened up different ways that they can respond to us. For instance, when I first started, I couldn't feel, quote, energy. I couldn't feel their presence. But as I practiced with them through meditation and exercises and, you know, things like that, I became more sensitive to energy. And so now I can feel a vibration. So it depends. It depends what spirit is coming close to me. It can feel heavy. It can feel light. It can make my eyes blink. It can make my toes move. Yes, it can. But it can make my fingers move. You can get a tingling. You can get heat. All these kinds of acknowledgement that they are there. But the other thing is even if you don't feel those things, to understand that they are there, that they hear you, that they know what's going on. And that is what you learn on the spiritual path by trial and error, right? So something that I was thinking about this week is that fundamental way that we want to communicate with spirit, which is, tell me yes or no to my question. And I remember when I was developing, I would be frustrated because they'd show me a picture or give me a color or give me a feeling. And I was like, well, just tell me yes or no. But again, that's not expanding our way of doing things. That's not learning the way of spirit or, in essence, remembering how spirit communicates, right? So people will get some type of a positive response if the answer is yes. But you have to learn the different ways that yes will react with you. So this could be, if you see colors, for me, a positive would be bright colors. Maybe a bright pink, which is like love. Sometimes heat, I may get hot. And to me, that temperature change means love, right? It's like a big warm hug, right? So that can be a positive. I'm not sure I've ever seen the word yes, because that's not really teaching us anything. Another positive reaction within us could be that it feels right, because we're also learning to get it out of our mind and logic and bring it down into our heart and make it feelings. So does it feel right? And this is such a good tool in our life. And I use it a lot. When I realized that I had that ability, and we all do, to feel if something is right or not, I use it all the time. So that's another positive response. So how do I know something feels right? It feels like there's no resistance, perhaps easy. It flows well. Like, it's like the path is clear towards that. When we're getting a lot of negative feedbacks or things that feel like roadblocks, I think it's a good opportunity to kind of sit with it a little bit more and say, you know, is the timing right? Is this good for me today? Maybe, you know, I should take action at another time. So when something feels right, it just feels open. It feels natural. I don't have to work for it. So you have to figure out what your yes is. And you do that through practice. So a great way to do it is to go into meditation, which is just that quiet, still spot, whether it's first thing in the morning as you wake up. That's a good time to ask a question, because you don't have to go through the process of relaxing yourself and getting your mind out of the way. You're kind of already in that receptive state. And so oftentimes I'll ask my question first thing in the morning, and then I just wait for the response, and you have to be patient with that. Sometimes it comes right away, and sometimes it's a process that it starts to come in, or you start to see something or feel something. Also pay attention to the thoughts that come in. So if you're in a receptive state, in a quiet state, your mind is not thinking. I'm not thinking about what the answer could be to my question, because that will block the answer from coming in and distort it. So you're just waiting in the silence and you're not thinking. You cannot think and receive a question at the same time. You have to be still and not think. And that's what a meditation practice does for you. It helps you get to understand what that is. So first thing in the morning is a great time to do it, but you can do it anytime. Anytime you're quiet and still, you can ask a question. Another time that I may ask a question is if I'm driving. Now, what am I doing when I'm driving? I'm paying attention to the road. Maybe the radio is off. And I'll ask a question in my head. And I just wait for the answer. So as I'm waiting for an answer to come in, I'm driving. So it's not like I stop paying attention to the road and close my eyes. I don't do that, right? So they may not, as I'm driving, give the answer to me in a picture because my eyes aren't closed, or, you know, I can't do two things at once. I can't look at the road and really receive a picture well. So I oftentimes rely on thoughts coming in, and you learn, is that thought from them or from me? Because A, you start to learn that you're not thinking. You're not trying to figure out what the answer is. And if you're doing that, that's great that you're aware of that. What I do is I may take just a couple of breaths and let it out and kind of focus on that for a second and clear my mind and then wait for the answer to come in. And it'll be different for each person how long that might take. So that's worked a lot for me. And sometimes we hear things. You know, they can tell us something. Maybe we'll get a quote from a lyric, like a little piece of a song, and, you know, notice the words that they're choosing. What clip of a song did they choose to tell you in response to your question? When you're asking questions, try not to switch to another question too early. So let's say you ask a question, whether it's you're driving, you're meditating, whatever, and you feel like you didn't get a response. Don't switch to another question too early. Give it time to receive something. And I know this because I did it myself. I'd be meditating and I would ask a question. Then I didn't feel like I got an answer. Then I would ask another question. Then I feel like I didn't get an answer. And then I ask another question. Before you know it, you know, we're all confused and you can't really rely on an answer coming in because you don't know which answer to which question that is. So it's good if you have like just a section of time to ask one question to receive an answer. The other thing is, what if you don't get a response and you've done all those things? What does that mean? So yes, it can mean that maybe the question isn't a good question to ask, especially if you're asking about other people. Oftentimes they won't talk about other people. So you want to phrase your questions maybe from a personal starting off point, like, how can I, that type of thing, tell me about this? That's okay too. How can I help this person? So kind of, how can I understand this? I find it's helpful if you have the word I in your question, and then they are talking about you and not somebody else. So you can look at how you're wording the question and rephrase it if you feel like you're not getting a response. But let's say it's a good question and you're not getting that positive reaction or response. The other thing is don't ask, show me a yes, and don't ask, show me a no. That doesn't work either because it's just not in reference to anything. It's better to learn by something practical, right? And then you learn how they will respond with you or what are the possibilities of how they will respond, right? So let's talk about a no response because I think this is important. I think people get confused around the no response. What I've learned is not to assume things, that this response I received is negative. So again, get it out of your head of how you think they're going to respond to you and let them do their thing, right? So kind of get your way of trying to control the response out of the way. So what I found is when it's a no response, there is no response. Nothing is happening. And I've given it time to receive something. The question is good, but nothing is happening. There is no change. So I'm not feeling a change. I'm not seeing a change. I'm not hearing anything different. I don't have a new thought coming to me. And there is no change. Because this is what we focus on with communication, is what has changed, right? All those areas, has something changed that you know there is a response happening, right? So a non-response can be their no. They don't like to give you things that are negative because that's not of spirit. They may rephrase things into a positive way of encourage you perhaps to go on a different direction or things like that. It's extremely rare they'll come through and say no. I've only heard them say no once. And it's probably because I frustrated them because I kept asking the same question over and over. And it was in response to a question that I wanted to help this other person. I said, just tell me what it is and I will tell her because she's really frustrated trying to figure this out. And they came through and said no, because it's her journey. It's not for me to tell her. It's for her to figure it out in that situation. But I was shocked. I was like, oh my gosh, right? I'd never heard no. So I felt like I got them going because I was really adamant about this, that I wanted an answer. And they kind of came through and said like, no. So, but really, I think that's the only time I've heard the word no. And I've never seen the word no either. So again, spirit communication, for the most part, is not like the way we talk to each other. We're learning a different language. So if you ask a question, you've done all those things, and you're not getting a response, can you assume the answer is no? Maybe the answer is not now, but at any rate, the answer is no. So I used to be in meditation for years, and I have a daughter on the other side. I have a daughter here, and I'd ask about her and how she's going to be and what's going to happen in her life, and is this going to happen, and is that going to happen? Not getting ever a response, until one day I realized that's a bad question, because they're not going to give me her personal information. Instead, I said, help me to understand, help me to understand where she is, how she is. And right away, the response came flooding through. So we can kind of play with this question and answer thing and kind of figure it out. But notice when there's no response, that could be your no, instead of waiting for the answer, no. And I found this just through practice over the years, just, you know, figuring out why. Why is the response different, right? So next time you ask a question, take all that into consideration. If it's a good question, you've got your own mind out of the way. And then usually their response when it does come in may be different than what you would expect. And that's another way of knowing it's not coming from your own mind also. But if you really train your mind to stop thinking, you know you weren't thinking when it came in. So can you take this information and apply it into your own life and just play with it? Learn what a non-response or a no is for you and what a yes is. They most want to do the yes part. They want to encourage you. They want to support you. So this is what I'm offering you today, is what I've learned about this give and take of the responses. So I hope this helps, and try it out. And good luck. Good luck with that. They want to communicate with you. You are not using up their time. Even if you want to do this with Jesus, you're not wasting his time. He wants to talk to you. He wants to communicate with you. And it's the same thing with your loved ones. They want to. So try it out and see how it goes. So thank you so much for listening today. And I hope you'll join me next time. And if you need to reach me personally, I'm at schoolofmiracles.ca. Thanks for now.